Today is the 11th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we do what we do, gather around the global campfire and move forward together. And so here we are, friends, another brand new, shiny, sparkly week, another reset, another chance to regroup and retell the story of God's goodness in our lives, and the chance to keep moving forward together. And we do that every day. We take another step forward together. This week, we will read from the Christian Standard Bible as we take our steps. And our next step leads us back into the life and times and reign of King Solomon, King David's son. And we pick up the story with 1 Kings chapter 8. At that time, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the tribal heads and all the ancestral leaders of the Israelites before him at Jerusalem, in order to bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from the city of David, that is Zion. So all the men of Israel were assembled in the presence of King Solomon in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month, at the festival. All the elders of Israel came, and the priests picked up the ark. The priests and the Levites brought the ark of the Lord, the tent of meeting, and the holy utensils that were in the tent. King Solomon and the entire congregation of Israel, who had gathered around him and were with him in front of the ark, were sacrificing sheep, goats, and cattle that could not be counted or numbered because there were so many. The priests brought the Ark of the Lord's covenant to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place beneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim were spreading their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim covered the ark and its poles from above. The poles were so long that their ends were seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they were not seen from outside the sanctuary. They are still there today. Nothing was in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites when they came out of the land of Egypt. When the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the Lord's temple. And because of the cloud, the priests were not able to continue ministering, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then Solomon said, "The Lord said that he would dwell in total darkness. I have indeed built an exalted temple for you, a place for your dwelling forever." The king turned around and blessed the entire congregation of Israel while they were standing. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He spoke directly to my father, David, and he has fulfilled the promise by his power. He said, 'Since the day I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city to build a temple in among any of the tribes of Israel, so that my name would be there. But I have chosen David to rule my people Israel. My father David had his heart set on building a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Since your heart was set on building a temple for my name, you have done well to have this desire. You are not the one to build it. Instead, your son, your own offspring, will build it for my name. The Lord has fulfilled what he promised. I have taken the place of my father David, and I sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. I have built the temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I have provided a place there for the ark, where the Lord's covenant is, that he made with our ancestors, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt.' Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire congregation of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. He said, 'Lord God of Israel, There is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below, who keeps the gracious covenant with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept what you promised to your servant, my father David. You spoke directly to him and you fulfilled your promise by your power as it is today. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, keep what you promised to your servant, my father David. You will never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel. If only your sons take care to walk before me as you have walked before me. Now, Lord God of Israel, please confirm what you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed live on earth? Even heaven, the highest heaven, cannot contain you, much less this temple I have built. Listen to your servant's prayer and his petition, Lord my God, so that you may hear the cry and the prayer that your servant prays before you today, so that your eyes may watch over this temple night and day, toward the place where you said, my name will be there, and so that you may hear the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the petition of your servant and your people Israel, which they pray toward this place. May you hear in your dwelling place in heaven. May you hear and forgive. When a man sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes to take an oath before your altar in this temple, may you hear in heaven and act. May you judge your servants, condemning the wicked man by bringing what he has done on his own head and providing justice for the righteous, by rewarding him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they return to you and praise your name, and they pray and plead with you for mercy in this temple, may you hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel. May you restore them to the land you gave their ancestors. When the skies are shut and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, and they pray toward this place and praise your name, and they turn from their sins because you are afflicting them, may you hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants and your people Israel, so that you may teach them to walk on the good way. May you send rain on your land that you gave your people for an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, when there is pestilence, when there is blight or mildew, locust or grasshopper, when their enemy besieges them in the land and its cities, when there is any plague or illness, every prayer or petition that any person or that all your people Israel may have, they each know their own affliction. As they spread out their hands toward this temple, may you hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and may you forgive, act, and give to everyone according to all their ways, since you know each heart. For you alone know every human heart, so that they may fear you all the days they live on the land you gave our ancestors. Even for the foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for they will hear of your great name, strong hand and outstretched arm, and will come and pray toward this temple. May you hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all the foreigner asks. Then all the peoples of the earth will know your name, to fear you as your people Israel do, and to know that this temple I have built bears your name. When your people go out to fight against their enemies, wherever you send them, and they pray to the Lord in the direction of the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, may you hear their prayer and petition in heaven and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you are angry with them and hand them over to the enemy, and their captors deport them to the enemy's country, whether distant or nearby, and when they come to their senses in the land where they were deported, and repent and petition you in their captor's land, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked. And when they return to you with all their heart and all their soul in the land of their enemies who took them captive, and when they pray to you in the direction of their land that you gave their ancestors, the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, may you hear in heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer and petition, and uphold their cause. May you forgive your people who sinned against you and all their rebellions against you, and may you grant them compassion before their captors, so that they may treat them compassionately. For they are your people and your inheritance. You brought them out of Egypt, out of the middle of an iron furnace. May your eyes be open to your servant's petition and to the petition of your people Israel, listening to them whenever they call to you. For you, Lord God, have set them apart as your inheritance from all peoples of the earth, as you spoke through your servant Moses when you brought our ancestors out of Egypt. When Solomon finished praying this entire prayer and petition to the Lord, he got up from kneeling before the altar of the Lord with his hands spread out toward heaven. And he stood and blessed the whole congregation of Israel with a loud voice. Blessed be the Lord! He has given rest to his people Israel according to all he has said. Not one of all the good promises he made through his servant Moses has failed. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he not abandon us or leave us, so that he causes us to be devoted to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances, which he commanded our ancestors. May my words with which I have made my petition before the Lord be near the Lord our God, day and night. May he uphold his servant's cause and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires. May all the peoples of the earth know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Be wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commands, as it is today. The king and all Israel with him were offering sacrifices in the Lord's presence. Solomon offered a sacrifice of fellowship offerings to the Lord: 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. In this manner, the king and all the Israelites dedicated the Lord's temple. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the courtyard that was in front of the Lord's temple, because that was where he offered the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the fat of the fellowship offerings, since the bronze altar before the Lord was too small to accommodate the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat of the fellowship offerings. Solomon and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt, observed the festival at that time in the presence of the Lord our God, 7 days and seven more days, 14 days. On the 15th day he sent the people away. So they blessed the king and went to their homes rejoicing and with happy hearts for all the goodness that the Lord had done for his servant David and for his people Israel. Acts 7:51 through 8:13. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit. As your ancestors did, you do also. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They even killed those who foretold the coming of the Righteous One, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law under the direction of angels and yet have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were enraged and gnashed their teeth at him. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." They yelled at the top of their voices, covered their ears, and together rushed against him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And after saying this, he fell asleep. Saul agreed with putting him to death. On that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. So those who were scattered went on their way preaching the word. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said, as they listened and saw the signs he was performing. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. A man named Simon had previously practiced sorcery in that city and amazed the Samaritan people while claiming to be somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least of them to the greatest, and they said, "This man is called the great power of God." They were attentive to him because he had amazed them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Even Simon himself believed. And after he was baptized, he followed Philip everywhere and was amazed as he observed the signs and great miracles that were being performed. Psalm 129. Protection of the Oppressed. A Song of Ascents. Since my youth, they have often attacked me. Let Israel say, "Since my youth, they have often attacked me, but they have not prevailed against me. Plowmen plowed over my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the ropes of the wicked. Let all who hate Zion be driven back in disgrace. Let them be like grass on the rooftops, which withers before it grows up and can't even fill the hands of the reaper or the arms of the one who binds sheaves. Then none who pass by will say, 'May the Lord's blessing be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.'" Proverbs 17:1. Better a dry crust with peace than a house full of feasting with strife. Father, we thank you for your word and this brand new shiny week that we get to step into and that we have stepped into together. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Our rock, our redeemer, may we represent you well. May we collaborate with you well. May we walk with you well. May we walk through this week in deep friendship and intimacy, knowing where you are leading and going there with confidence. Come, Holy Spirit, into all of this, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, Lisa. I heard your voice on June 7th, and you just made my day. I want you to know that we are praying every single day for your healing. My son, who is 25 years now, had cancer 3 times, almost 15 years ago. The doctor told us that he was living his last days. Many times that happened. I just want to remind you that the Lord is holding you in the palm of his hands. None of us know when is our time to departure from this world and be in the presence of our Lord. I want you to live fully, making plans for your future. Be joyful, the joy that comes from the presence of our Lord Jesus. I want you to know that you are loved and that you are prayed for. I love you, Lisa. Many blessings.
Good morning. My name is Carolina. I'm calling in to pray particularly over Kaz. I heard her prayer request a few days ago, and my husband was the one who alerted me to it since he most often listens to the prayers. I'm also a psychiatry resident, and I understand it. I'm going from my first to second year right now, and I do understand sometimes the inequalities of these programs and the point of views, and oftentimes residents aren't necessarily heard. It's spoken that we're heard, but in action, we're not necessarily given that opportunity. So I pray, Lord, that you continue to show Kaz your comfort, your steadiness, how you will come through for her, how this is not going in vain, how you will use this, how you are speaking not only to her, but to everybody around her that is watching and has ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, we pray that you strengthen her. We pray that she has faith like she's never had before. And we pray, Lord, that she continues to gird up in courage within you, knowing that your word never comes back void, love never fails, and you are the King above all kings, Lord. And in Isaiah somewhere, you have said, if we cannot stand strong, then you cannot show us what you have in store for us. So I pray that you gird her up, her legs like iron, her heart like steel, Lord, and that she would put on her armor every single day, and that she would wait to see what the Lord has in store for her, because it is sweet. Ephesians 2:10 says that we all have our unique works. Let her rejoice in this one. That is her.
This message is for Philippians 4:6, Lisa. Lisa, I want to say I was so excited when I heard your voice when you called and gave us an update. I'm always waiting anxiously, although your verse is be anxious for nothing, but I think this was a good anxious. As I waited, I was hoping that you would post or call in, and I was so happy, like many other dabbers, I'm sure, to hear your voice and get an update. I'm happy and grateful that you're able to be a bit more mobile. And I just pray and ask God that he will completely heal you, that you will be able to run and not even walk, that you're able to complete this trip that you said that's planned in the name of Jesus. I just lift you up to him. And I just pray the grace of God to touch you, that your body, oh God, will be a testimony to the kingdom, the love, the miracle-working power of the Lord. I thank you for calling in, and I ask you to please keep us updated. So many of us are praying for you and believing God that he can do the impossible. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for keeping faithful to Jesus no matter what, that he will hold your hand. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. So just hold on to that truth. All of us have to hold on to that same truth. We are all either coming out of a challenge, in a challenge, or going into one. This is the life that we live, but we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Lisa, for calling. We love you, and we look forward to hearing the good news of all the things that God is doing in your life.
Hello, everyone. This is Jay from Tennessee. It's been a while. I've been listening to the Daily Audio Bible for, boy, a very long time now, probably almost 10 years or more. I used to call in quite frequently, but I haven't. But I have been listening to all of you and all of the wonderful things that you've been saying about me and praying about me over the years. But anyway, I'm calling for Christina from Oregon, struggling with alcoholism. And I want you to know that that is something that I struggled with for a very long time. But by the grace of God and prayer, I have been sober for almost 2 years now. So I want to pray for you because I know that this is something that God can do for you. It sounds like you're ready and you want it. So I pray that you'll find yourself a support system. I'm not sure if you're aware of the rooms of AA, but they are very, very helpful for some people. Anyway, let's take it to the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the precious, holy, and mighty name of Jesus Christ, God, we bring before you Christina from Oregon this morning, and we think about the many miracles, the many blessings, the many prayers that you have answered through this wonderful forum, through this amazing campfire. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come now and ignite a fire within inside this woman of God that will aid her, that will provide her with the discipline and the fortitude necessary to endure this next phase of her life, pointing her heart towards you. And we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, sister, and I pray that you are sober and free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.